Let's read together Luke chapter 22, verses 39 through 71. Now, in the second half of Luke chapter 22, we have the Lord's arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane and then his religious trial before the high priest and the Sanhedrin, along with Peter's three denials. Let's begin by reading verses 39 through 53. And coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives, as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, "Pray that you may not enter into temptation." And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, "Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation." And while he was still speaking, behold, a multitude, and he who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, "Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss?" When those around him saw what was going to happen, they said to him, "Lord, shall we strike with a sword?" And one of them struck the servant of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus answered and said, "No more of this." And he touched his ear and healed him. Then Jesus said to the chief priests, captains of the temple, and the elders who had come to him, "Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs? When I was with you daily in the temple, you did not try to seize me. But this is your hour and the power of darkness." Let's begin our study of this portion of Luke chapter 22 with some background notes. In the first half of this chapter, we had the account of the last Passover and the institution of the Lord's Supper. After the institution of the Lord's Supper and some further teaching from our Lord, they sang a hymn according to Matthew and Mark's accounts and then went out to the Mount of Olives. On the lower slopes of the Mount of Olives was the Garden of Gethsemane. And here the Lord asked his disciples to pray so that they would not enter into temptation. That is, the temptation to give up and forsake the Lord when the going got tough. We too need to pray that we do not enter temptation and forsake the Lord in any way. The Lord went about a stone's throw away by himself and prayed fervently. His agony of soul was so great that Dr. Luke says he was sweating profusely as if bleeding drops of blood. Only Luke gives us this information, along with the mention of the angel from heaven that strengthened the Lord. Now, when the Lord prayed, "Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." What did the Lord mean by this cup? The cup was more than just the physical sufferings of our Lord on the cross. The cup involved all the suffering that was associated with the sinless Son of God taking upon himself the penalty for our sins and experiencing the wrath of God and temporary separation from the Father. The Lord drank the whole cup because it was the Father's will. In verses 47 through 53, we have the Lord's arrest in the Garden of Gethsemane by the Jewish authorities. The Roman authorities were not involved yet. Judas knew that the Lord was most likely with the rest of his disciples in the Garden of Gethsemane or on the slopes of the Mount of Olives because that was his custom. Verse 39, and coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. Judas led the Jewish authorities to this site away from the crowds and identified the Lord with a betrayal kiss. There was no white robe or halo to make Jesus obvious to the authorities. We know from the other Gospels that it was Peter who cut off the ear of the high priest's servant. Peter probably aimed for his head but missed. Now, it was not wrong for Peter to be carrying a sword for defensive purposes, as we saw back in verses 36 through 38 of this chapter, but Peter had to be rebuked for wielding his sword in this offensive manner. No one had actually threatened their lives. In fact, the Lord said to the authorities, there was no need for them to come with swords and clubs. The Lord did not intend to fight, even though the authorities were in the wrong and under the satanic power of darkness. Let's move now to our doctrinal or teaching points in the rest of the chapter. Doctrinal point number one, the denial of Peter was predicted by the Lord. The denial of Peter was predicted by the Lord. Verses 54 through 62. Luke chapter 22, beginning now with verse 54. Having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, this man was also with him. But he denied him, saying, woman, I do not know him. And after a little while, another saw him and said, you also are of them. But Peter said, man, I am not. Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are saying. Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. The trial of our Lord was in two phases, a religious trial and a civil trial. The civil trial before Pilate was necessary because Rome did not allow the Jews to carry out the death penalty. And that's what the Jewish religious leaders wanted concerning Jesus. Here in the verses that we just read, we have the first part of the Lord's religious trial. It was at the house of the high priest. It was here that Peter denied the Lord three times. First to a servant girl, then to a man along with a servant girl, and finally to another man from the bystanders who, according to John chapter 18, was a servant of the high priest and a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off in the Garden of Gethsemane. Peter's Galilean accent gave him away. The Matthew and Mark accounts add that Peter began to curse and swear with his third denial. And then the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Can you imagine that look? No wonder Peter went out and wept bitterly. Peter had boldly proclaimed that he would go to prison and to death for the Lord. But the Lord had to humble Peter by revealing to Peter that he would deny him three times before the next morning. The denial of Peter was predicted by the Lord. Doctrinal point number two, the derision of people was predicted by the Lord. The derision of people was predicted by the Lord. Verses 63 through 65. Luke chapter 22, beginning now with verse 63. Now the men who had held Jesus mocked him and beat him. And having blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, prophesy, who is the one who struck you? And many other things they blasphemously spoke against him. This terrible, shameful treatment had been predicted by the Lord. Look back at Luke chapter 18, verses 31 through 33. Luke chapter 18, beginning with verse 31. Then Jesus took the 12 aside and said to them, behold, we are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon, and they will scourge him and kill him, and the third day he will rise again. Luke chapter 18, verses 31 through 33. This shameful treatment of our Lord was by both the Jewish religious leaders and then later by the Roman soldiers. Matthew chapter 26, verses 65 through 68. So that's where we have the shameful treatment by the Jewish religious authorities. And then in Matthew chapter 27, beginning with verse 27, we have the actions of the Roman soldiers. So both Jews and Gentiles were guilty of shameful treatment of the Lord. The derision of people was predicted by the Lord. And doctrinal point number three, the delegation of power was predicted by the Lord. The delegation of power was predicted by the Lord. Verses 66 through 71. Luke chapter 22, beginning now with verse 66. As soon as it was day, the elders of the people, both chief priests and scribes, came together and led him into their council, saying, "If you are the Christ, tell us." But he said to them, "If I tell you, you will by no means believe. And if I also ask you, you will by no means answer me or let me go. Hereafter, the Son of Man will sit on the right hand of the power of God." Then they all said, "Are you then the Son of God?" So he said to them, "You rightly say that I am." And they said, "What further testimony do we need? For we have heard it ourselves from his own mouth." Here at the end of Luke chapter 22, we have the second part of the Lord's religious trial. That is, before the council, or Sanhedrin, the governing body of the Jews. Now, it was illegal for the Sanhedrin to meet during the night. But according to the parallel accounts in both Matthew and Mark, the Sanhedrin had preliminary hearings at night and were just waiting for dawn when they would make their verdict official by again getting the Lord to declare that he was God, which to them was blasphemy and worthy of death. They refused to consider that our Lord's claims were true. The Lord quoted from Psalm 110, which they knew was a messianic psalm. They rightly understood that his claim to be the Son of Man was a claim to be the Son of God, which was a claim to be God himself. Therefore, they had all the evidence they were looking for conviction. But the story was not over yet. By their power, the Sanhedrin would have the Lord convicted and delivered to Rome to be crucified. But by God's power, the Lord would be resurrected, and he would ascend to heaven and be seated at the right hand of the power of God. That is supreme above all other powers. All power on heaven and earth would be given to him. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. That delegation of power was predicted by the Lord. Now, what about practical application from the second half of Luke chapter 22? Remember, it's not wrong to pray for a cup of suffering to be removed. When the Lord prayed to the Father in verse 42, "Father, if it is your will, or if it is possible, let this cup pass from me," he was praying that he'd prefer any other way to accomplish the will of God, if possible, without going through the shame of the cross and experiencing the wrath of God against sin. But there was no other way, and the Lord submitted totally to the will of his Heavenly Father. It's not wrong for us to pray for a cup of suffering to be removed. It's not a sign of weakness or ungodliness. Remember, as long as we add to our prayers the words, "Not my will, but thine be done," and mean it, it's not wrong to pray for a cup of suffering to be removed.